18. Jesus, Eddie said. What kind of people are these guys? They had followed the avenue at the base of the ramp for a couple of blocks, had seen the barricade, missing Roland's entry into the partially hidden passageway by less than a minute, which lay ahead, and had turned north onto a broad thoroughfare which reminded Eddie of Fifth Avenue. He hadn't dared to tell Susanna that. He was still too bitterly disappointed with this stinking, littered ruin of a city to articulate anything hopeful. Fifth Avenue led them into an area of large white stone buildings that reminded Eddie of the way Rome looked in the gladiator movies he'd watched on TV as a kid. They were austere and, for the most part, still in good shape. He was pretty sure they had been public buildings of some sort, galleries, libraries, maybe museums. One with a big domed roof that had cracked like a granite egg might have been an observatory. Although Eddie had read someplace that astronomers like to be away from big cities, because all the electric lights fucked up their stargazing. There were open areas between these imposing edifices, and although the grass and flowers which had once grown there had been choked off by weeds and tangles of underbrush, the area still had a stately feel, and Eddie wondered if it had once been the center of Ludd's cultural life. Those days were long gone, of course. Eddie doubted if Gasher and his pals were very interested in ballet or chamber music. He and Susanna had come to a major intersection from which four more broad avenues radiated outward like spokes on a wheel. At the hub of the wheel was a large paved square. Ringing it were loudspeakers on 40-foot steel posts. In the center of the square was a pedestal with the remains of a statue upon it, a mighty copper warhorse, green with verdigris, pawing its forelegs at the air. The warrior who had once ridden this charger lay off to the side on one corroded shoulder, waving what looked like a machine gun in one hand and a sword in the other. His legs were still bowed around the shape of the horse he had once ridden, but his boots remained welded to the sides of his metal mount. Gray's Die was written across the pedestal in fading orange letters. Glancing down the radiating streets, Eddie saw more of the speaker poles. A few had fallen over, but most still stood, and each of these had been festooned with a grisly garland of corpses. As a result, the square into which Fifth Avenue emptied and the streets which led away were guarded by a small army of the dead. What kind of people are they? Eddie asked again. He didn't expect an answer, and Susanna didn't give one. But she could have. She'd had insights into the past of Roland's world before, but never one as clear and sure as this. All of her earlier insights, like those which had come to her in River Crossing, had had a haunting, visionary quality, like dreams. But what came now arrived in a single flash, and it was like seeing the twisted face of a dangerous maniac illuminated by a stroke of lightning. The speakers, the hanging bodies, the drums. She suddenly understood how they went together, as clearly as she had understood that the heavy-laden wagons passing through River Crossing on their way to Jimtown had been pulled by oxen rather than mules or horses. "Never mind this trash," she said, and her voice only quivered a little. "It's a train we want. Which way is it, do you think?" Eddie glanced up at the darkening sky and easily picked out the path of the beam in the rushing clouds. He looked back down and wasn't much surprised to see that the entrance to the street corresponding most closely to the path of the beam was guarded by a large stone turtle. Its reptilian head peered out from beneath the granite lip of its shell. Its deep-set eyes seemed to stare curiously at them. Eddie nodded toward it and managed a small, dry smile. "See the turtle of enormous girth?" Susanna took a brief look of her own and nodded. He pushed her across the city square and into the street of the turtle. The corpses which lined it gave off a dry, cinnamony smell that made Eddie's stomach clench, not because it was bad, but because it was actually rather pleasant, the sugar-spicy aroma of something a kid would enjoy shaking onto his morning toast. The street of the turtle was mercifully broad, and most of the corpses hanging from the speaker poles were little more than mummies, But Susanna saw a few which were relatively fresh, with flies still crawling busily across the blackening skin of their swollen faces and maggots still squirming out of their decaying eyes. And below each speaker was a little drift of bones.